The book of Exodus, Weel HaShemot. Exodus comes from the Greek language Ex and Hodos. The way out are like Hantio and Lakota. Now, we're in 2 and verse 11 is where we are in the book of Genesis. And I'll just read it to you. I've been reading it from Hebrew some because there's so much stuff in Hebrew that if I read it in English, I'm going to miss something. And I don't want to miss these valuable golden nuggets and pearls and diamonds and rubies that are here in God's Word. Vayehi bayamim ahim vayagdal Moshe vayitza el isha vayar bi siv lotam vayar ish mitzri mike ish Henry, Envy, Me, Acha, Wayafin, Ko, Waka, Wayar, Ki, An, Ish, Wayuk, Eth, Hamitzri, Wayit, Meanu, Bako. I just read that. So you can hear the Hebrew with my Oklahoma accent with it, I guess. And became and kept on becoming in the days of those days that there was a, when he had become big, a large man, Moses, he went out unto his brothers. He knew who his brothers were. Moses, in the movie Exodus, it has Moses going out there and he doesn't know who anybody is. And he finds out who his mother is. He nursed his mother for years. He knew who his father was. He knew who his mother was. He knew who his sisters and brothers were. This is cinema. But this is the real story right here. And they're in burdens. And he saw a man, an Egyptian, striking a Hebrew man from among his relatives. And he turned thus and there, and he saw, because not the man striking the Egyptian, and he hit him in the sand. He killed him. He killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. He gave him a quick burial. And Wayetzi, and he went out in the days. They, the second, and behold, two men, two Hebrews were fighting, beating each other up. They kept on fighting. They kept on fighting at the participle. They kept on struggling and wrestling. And he said to the one guilty, to the wicked one, the one that started to fight, why do you smite your fellow man? This guy must have been a bully. This Hebrew must have been a bully. And he was beating up probably a man smaller than him. And we're going to look at that in Jasher in a few moments. Also, and I have a reading for you, The Face of God also, that's just very wonderful out of the Kyle and Delish. And he said, who has placed you for a man, a prince? Who has made you a prince over us? The Tsar, that word Tsar, that's where the word Sarah comes from. Who has made you a prince over us and a judge? And why Yeshabet over each one of us? Are you going to kill me too? Just like you killed the Egyptian? And he feared, Moses feared. And surely, it's been known what I had done. There's been a report. There's been spies that watched me, and they're going to tell Pharaoh. And why Ishmael? And he heard Pharaoh, the edict, and he gave out an arrest warrant, a dead or alive a poster on him, so to speak. And he kept on seeking to kill him, to kill Moses, and Moses fled. from the face of Pharaoh. And he dwelled in the land of Midian, and he sat by a spring, a flowing well, Habir. Now these are Midian is Abraham's children through Keturah. He was a Japhethite. And all of these people have descended from Abraham. Now let's go back and see in the book of Jasher, I hope. There it is. Go over here, I think it's in chapter 71. And when Moses was 18 years old, he desired to see his father and mother, and he went in and to them in Goshen. Now, I want to tell you something here. The first 40 years of Moses' life, he was in Pharaoh's palace. He was in Pharaoh's palace. Now, he had gone and visited them many times. It said, Moses was greatly respected in the house of Pharaoh. And he said, Lord, let me attend. This Egyptian came by my house tonight and bound me. And he came to my wife in my presence. And now he seeks to take my life away. And when Moses heard these sayings, now this is Moses has been in Pharaoh's house 40 years now. And this man comes and tells Moses that he... that this Egyptian came and raped his wife in his very presence and said, you sit there and shut up. Now, there was another man in history that did this. His name was Lyndon Baines Johnson. Lyndon Baines Johnson was a psychopath, basically. It is said that many times people would come and visit him in his home and in his ranch in Texas, and that he would just walk into the bedroom when they were in bed and tell them to move over, I'm the president. And he would take privileges with the wife. Now this happened more than once. Well, this happened a long time ago. This is a very evil, wicked man that we had for in the presidency of America years ago. He was, it was a cover-up. I might say this, that when John Kennedy ran for president, he wanted to have another man that ran for vice president. And J. Edgar Hoover came to his home. Now, Lyndon Baines Johnson and J. Edgar Hoover were next door neighbors. And J. Edgar Hoover did not like John Kennedy. And he had a dossier on everybody. And of course, John Kennedy was a womanizer, and he had a lot of tapes and different things. He talked about illegal wiretapping. J. Edgar Hoover did a lot of it. And he had a lot of evidence against Kennedy, and he said, you either run Johnson as your vice president, or I want to expose you. And so he did. So the whole plan was to kill him and put Johnson in there. And see, Kennedy was going to disable J. Edgar Hoover and make him retire. And he was going to clip the wings of the CIA because they'd been doing some pretty rough things all the way from the time of Eisenhower. Well, they didn't like it. The CIA, the FBI, all... and the Department of Justice all committed the coup in America against John Kennedy, and they did another one against Trump. But this man did what Johnson did so many times. For the man Moses greatly respected in the house of Pharaoh, and he said to him, "My Lord, attend me. This Egyptian came to my house in the night and bound me and came to my wife in my presence, and now he seeks to take my life." And when Moses heard this wicked thing, his anger was kindled against the Egyptian, and he turned this way and the other. And when he saw that there was no man there, he smote the Egyptian and killed him, and hid him in the sand, and delivered a Hebrew from the hand of this man that smote him. And the Hebrew went to his house, and Moses returned to his home, and went forth and came back to the king's house. Now, Pharaoh means the guy that lives in the big house, doesn't it? Yeah. And when the man returned home, he thought of repudiating his wife, for it is not right in the house of Jacob for a man to come to his wife, and after she had been defiled. And the woman went and told her brothers, and the woman's brother sought to slay him. And he fled to his house and escaped. This is telling you the rest of the story, like Hal Lafoon used to do, you know. And on the second day, Moses went forth to his brethren and saw, and behold, two men were quarreling. And he said to the wicked one, "Why do you smite your neighbor?" The wicked one, the guilty one. It says the guilty one in the Hebrew language, and basically that's what it says here in the book of Jasher also. And he answered him and said to him, "Who has set you for a prince and a judge over us?" Just exactly like it says in the Hebrew. "Do you think to slay me also, as you slayed the Egyptian?" And Moses was afraid, and he said, "Surely this thing is known." And Pharaoh heard of this affair, and he ordered Moses to be slain. He put a bounty out on Moses. It says that in the Hebrew language also. He put a bounty on his head. So God sent his angel, and he appeared unto Pharaoh in the likeness of the captain of the guard. The angel, the face of God, okay? And the angel of the Lord took the sword from the hand of the captain of the guard, and he took his head off with it. For in the likeness of the captain of the guard, he was turned into the likeness of Moses. Okay? Now, they think they got Moses. They think they've killed Moses. And the angel of the Lord took hold of the right hand of Moses and brought him forth from Egypt and placed him from without the borders of Egypt in the distance of 40 days' journey. And Aaron his brother alone remained in the land of Egypt, and he prophesied to the children of Israel, saying, "Thus saith the Lord God of your ancestors, throw away each man the abomination of his eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt." And the children of Israel rebelled and would not hearken to Aaron at that moment. And the Lord thought to destroy them, were it not that the Lord remembered the covenant which he had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in those days the hand of Pharaoh continued to be severe against the children of Israel, and he crushed and oppressed them, and that's exactly the words in Hebrew. Until the time when God sent forth his word and took notice of them. In the New Testament, in Galatians 4:4, it says, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem those under the law." And this is before the law. Okay? Now, God used Moses as a type of Christ, the deliverer, in these days. Now, let's go back and see who God is for a moment. Now, God's going to meet face to face with Moses. He's going to meet face to face with him. But I want you to see the angel of his face. The angel of his face. The angel Jehovah. Now this is Kyle and Delish. God manifests himself before Jesus to humankind. Let me read a little of this to you. It is true from the very beginning that God manifests Himself visibly to mankind. But in olden times, we read of nothing of appearances because before the flood, God had not withdrawn His presence from the earth. Even to Noah, He revealed Himself before the flood as one who was present on the earth. God walked with man. God, in His pre-incarnate form in the person of Jesus Christ, walked with man. And Jesus in the New Testament is Jehovah of the Old Testament. Jehovah means what? He who shall become. He revealed Himself before the flood as one who was present on the earth. But when He had established a covenant with Him after the flood, and thereby had assured the continuance of the earth and of the human race, the direct manifestation ceased. For God withdrew His visible presence from the world. No longer could the world see God walking among them. They were not worthy to see God walking among them. God walked among mankind. God walked with Moses. Not with Moses, but with Adam. He walked with Noah. He walked with Shem. And now, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made of the law. And we have the Scriptures that said, Jesus walked with us. We don't need His presence anymore. We have evidence that He did. By faith, we believe that He was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. By faith, we believe that He lived in Nazareth. By faith, we believe that He did all the miracles that He did and called out His church during His personal ministry. By faith, we believe that He died upon the cross of Calvary. By faith, we believe that He was raised from the dead. By faith, we believe that He died for our sins and His blood was shed for us. His visible presence, God withdrew from the world, so that it was from heaven, and that the judgment fell upon the Tower of Babel. Even the call to Abraham in his home in Haran was issued through His word. That is to say, no doubt through an inward monition. But as soon as Abraham had gone into Canaan, in obedience to the call of God, Jehovah appeared unto him. He revealed Himself, the face of God, the presence of the angel of God. These appearances were constantly repeated from that time forward and must have taken place from heaven. We read that Jehovah, after speaking with Abram and the other patriarchs, went away. He went and left the earth. He walked and He appeared unto Abraham. That's a special epiphany, a special theophany. He went away. And He went up, it says. And the patriarch saw them, and sometimes while in a waking condition, in the form of a discernible body presence of God, the face, the angel of God. Of the face of the angel of God. The angel of God is Jesus. Sometimes in visions, sometimes in a mental state of hypnosis in their dreams. On the form in which God appeared, in most instances, nothing is related. But in chapter 18, it is stated that three men came to Abraham. One of whom is introduced as Jehovah, while the other two were witnesses. Two angels always witnessed by two or three, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Besides this, we frequently read of the appearances of the angel of Jehovah, the face of God, and the angel of Elohim, and the angel of God, which was repeated throughout the whole Old Testament and even occurred, though only in a vision, in the case of the prophet Zechariah. The appearance of the angel Jehovah or Elohim cannot have been essentially different from those of Jehovah or Elohim himself. Many people say that the two angels that was with Jesus typify the triune God. Jacob describes the appearance of Jehovah at Bethel, and as an appearance of the angel of God and of the God of Bethel. And in his blessing on the sons of Joseph, the God of Elohim, before whom my fathers and Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God of Elohim, which fed me all of my life unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. He places the angel of God on a perfect equality with God. The angel of God is Jesus. It's not Michael either. I want you to understand that. Not only regarding him as being to whom he has been indebted for protection all of his long life, but entreating from him a blessing upon his descendants. A question arises whether the angel of Jehovah or of God was God himself. Jesus is the express, pressed out image of the invisible God in Colossians, it says. This particular phase and self-manifestation are created angel of whom made use as the organ of his revelation. He created an image. God created an image. The word Jehovah means he who shall become. The angel of Jehovah with Jehovah himself follows indisputably from the following facts. In the first place, the angel of God identifies himself with Jehovah or Elohim by attributing to himself divine attributes. The angel attributes to himself divine attributes and performing divine works. Now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Jehovah told him that. The one who shall become the only begotten son that would die on the cross of Calvary spared Abraham's son Isaac on Mount Moriah. The angel of God appeared unto Hagar, the wanderer, the princess of Egypt that Abraham had taken as a political wife and turned her into a slave. She had a baby, Abraham's baby. God appeared unto her and comforted her. And he said, the child's name shall be Ishmael, God heard. And then Abraham kicked her out in the desert by her own. Sarah demanded that. And God appeared unto her and she said, the Lord my shepherd. Before David did. Jehovah Roeh, the Lord my shepherd, my protector. I will multiply your seed exceedingly and shall not be numbered for multitude. And I will make him a great nation. And the very words used Elohim in chapter 17:20 with reference to Ishmael and by Jehovah in chapter 13:16 and 15:4 and 5 with regard to Isaac also in Exodus 3 and 6. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry, and I have come down to snatch them away to deliver them. Now that's, we got a lot more of that to do. But for right now, that's where we're going to go. Now if you're out there and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, He is the God of the Bible. He is Jehovah of the Old Testament. He is a great I Am, he said in John the 8th chapter and the 10th chapter. And John the 1st chapter, John said that he was the eternal God that created all things, that all things that were created to him. And he said his creation sought to kill him. The creation itself accepted him when he came. The animals, the wild beasts of the field, but the people that he had called out of Egypt wanted him dead. That Jesus that died on the cross of Calvary died for you. Our Father, we pray that you use this message for your honor and glory. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the beautiful redemption story. Please forgive me where I fail you. And use this word where it goes out all over the world to comfort your people, to give them security and faith in your word through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.